Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Today, it's a joy. Thank you for that kind introduction. And it is a joy to serve Christ. And I realize this year is 40 years for me following Jesus. I was born again at 19. I'm now 59, turned 60 at the end of the year, which is pretty cool. Excited about that. Because the best days are ahead of me, whether in this life or the next. It only gets better, you know that. Anyway, today I want to speak about a concept. I want to talk about the presence of God, the personal presence of God. And this is what has completely revolutionized my life from when I was a young man. I'm going to tell stories and talk, but my heart today is that you would engage and experience that, whatever I'm talking about, for yourself. It's not about me getting up telling you a story. Anything that Jesus did was meant to be passed on. Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, get ready to pass it on. anything Jesus did was never just for one person. It was always to invest and pass on to someone else and to others. So today I want to talk about, the title of the message is Portals of God's Presence. Portals of God's Presence. Now a portal is simply a window. It's an opening. It's an access point that is available. And I want to talk about this in terms of the presence of God, because I don't think, even in the church, that the presence of God is understood too much. I think that across the body of Christ as a whole, it's so easy to engage in regular religion and actually forget that the power of your life is not in the knowledge of your head, but it's in the passion of your heart and the permeating presence of heaven within you. What energizes me after 40 years, oh my gosh, that just sounds so old. When I was 20, when I was 19, I thought anyone who was 59 was a fossil. It's like, and now I'm that fossil. So I'll apologize in advance, but I'm ready to unleash today in Jesus' name. wasn't it beautiful, these young people up here on stage leading us today? Just love that. Amazing. Portals of the presence of God. A portal is an opening. It's an access point. God's plan has always been that as human beings, we would know and experience his personal presence. That you would know what it is. And you know when you don't have it. I knew when I didn't have it in the years of my teen years. That emptiness in my heart, that anxiety of something more. That feeling of like I don't quite fit. Something empty, something longing inside of me. And it wasn't just for a person of the opposite sex. It wasn't just for a relationship. It wasn't just for a sense of a career or a pathway. But it was for something deeply spiritual and personal that gave me a sense of understanding of who I was. God's plan was that we would all know God's personal presence, the presence of our Heavenly Father, our Creator. There was a problem. Something happened in the very beginning of the creation story. And we read that our first parents, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God. And the fundamental issue that changed in that moment was that they became personally separated from the presence of God. Until that point, they had sweet and beautiful connection, amazing connection. Creation was in order. Their hearts were in order. They felt the love of the Father constantly and intuitively, instinctively. But when sin came into the world through the temptation that they responded to, that in essence separated them. Put them, the Bible calls it darkness. It calls it isolation. Sin is a falling from the experience and relationship in what we have into a place of separation and emptiness. And I knew what that emptiness was. My teen years were a struggle. I had so many opportunities to know God, and yet I didn't respond to that. I'll talk about that in a few moments. But In the Old Testament, when God starts to speak to his people, the presence of God was in a place, in a special place. We read of a number of places in the Old Testament that were what we call high places, places where heaven interfaced with earth. Now, when I talk about heaven, I'm not talking about another, you know, in the galaxy somewhere, the heavens. I'm talking about a dimension. I'm talking about another realm of existence. It's the realm where God exists. It is another realm beyond the realm of this physical world. It's a spiritual dimension. And God created these places, and people created places. The first place that was a place like that was a place called Eden. In the book of Genesis, we read that even after Adam and Eve had fallen, had been separated from God, they could hear the voice of the Lord walking in the Garden of Eden. In other words, there was something about that garden, that specific place, where I can feel the presence now as I'm speaking about it. There was something about the garden that carried this supernatural presence. Then the next place we read about is Mount Sinai. And it was on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament that Moses received the Ten Commandments, the law. And he would travel up to the mountain. It was called the Mountain of God. And in that place, he was actually able to fast for 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. It was a supernatural presence that kept him alive. It was this supernatural, unusual, strange, but not ordinary, not common, not available. Only a specific man at a specific time. And so the presence of God was mysterious to people. It was far from them. It was far reaching. There was only very few people who were aware of it. So Eden, then you had Mount Sinai, then you had the Temple of Solomon. The Temple of Solomon was built at God's instruction. God gave David, King David, the instructions. His son Solomon built the temple. The Bible says that when the temple was finished and the priests came into the temple, that literally as they opened and consecrated the temple, the presence of God came into that room so mightily that the people could not stand to minister to the Lord. They went down under the... People ask me about being slain in the spirit. You know, when people get prayed for and they fall down because they can't stand up. Well, there's your first example, even a Bible example. The whole room, all the priests who were in that room fell under the power of heaven, fell under the presence of God because the presence carries weight. It carries something that literally goes through you. It's like being filled with liquid love, an intense sense of freedom, an intense sense of like a mother wrapping her arm around her baby to hold it close and bring comfort. It's something supernatural, mysterious, and beautiful. But the presence came into that room. Three places in the Old Testament that the presence, and we were made for the presence of God. You were made not to just do religion. I pray to God today that you haven't come just to tick off another job you have to do in a service, that you're here today because you feel like this is your duty. Tick, done that. Okay, go and bath the kids. Tick, done that. And it's on some sort of equilibrium plane with all the other responsibilities. We come here for a hunger and a desire for the presence of God. We don't just come here to sing songs and clap our hands. I mean, you can go to a daycare center and do that if you want to. You can do that anywhere. But here we come for the presence of God. The leaders who are on stage are not trying to lead you into a happy clappy moment. You know, hey, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. No, we come here to gather and with an expectancy that as we worship, the presence of God just comes. I felt the presence today. In fact, the presence was in the prayer meeting. So beautiful. It was amazing. So beautiful. Psalm 84 verses 1 and 2 says, how lovely is your dwelling place. Your dwelling place, Lord Almighty, my soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Something was put within you that knows God and wants to know him more. There's something within you that God created to be in relationship with him, to deeply experience his personal love and mercy in your life. See, these were places, these were special places of access and opportunity where the presence of God could be experienced. It's interesting to me that when Jesus came and he, one of the first things he did, he went into the temple. Do you remember he went in there and he went in with a whip and turned over the tables. And he passionately began to speak and address what was going on in the temple, which in those days was the church. In those days, it was the house of God. It was the place. It was that special place that people came for heaven to touch earth, for there to be an experience of the supernatural presence of God the Father. But what had happened was, hear what I'm about to say, because this same pressure is on us today. The reason he cleansed the temple was because the purpose of presence had been lost to the pressure of business. The purpose of presence had been lost to the pressure of business. I want you to think about your life now, right now. Just let the Holy Spirit just scan through your soul. How many areas are there in all of us, in our personal journey, where we sacrifice the presence of God for the pressure of business and not allow God's presence to stay central and full in our hearts? And it robs us. And so we tend to feel empty. We tend to then want to try and fill it with other things and try and look for artificial things that will be a temporary fix in the moment. But God wants us to come back. Come back without fear. Come back without shame. And access and open the portal again. Open the portal that he has. The reason Jesus came into this world was to bring the Father's presence to the world, to every individual. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was in places. Lord, let it rain on us in Jesus' name. The presence of God was in special places. But in the New Testament, the presence is found in a person. It's found in a person, not in a place. What does that mean? What it means is then anybody who has access to that person can experience the presence of God. Let me explain. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth, the things that we can see and the things that we can't, the spirit world and its kings and kingdoms. Its rulers and authorities all were made by Christ for his own use and glory. He was before all else began, and it is his power that holds everything together. So the Creator came. The Creator just didn't create a space and a place. He himself came in the form of his Son to present the presence of God back to his people, to those who would believe, those who would receive what he had. John 14:6 captures it this way. It says, I am the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, it's the presence of the Father is found through the corridor, through the delivery pathway of believing in the Son. That's how it works. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, challenges us in the Living Bible. This is a really challenging verse about the presence of God in our life and the authenticity of our faith in God. Look at what it says here. It says, check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you, or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? Ow. In other words, don't fake it till you make it. Open your heart and get down to the real thing. Let's not come here to play church. Let's not come here to just get happy clappy and have a quick chat. Let's come for the presence of God. Let's come to get on fire for heaven. Let's come to access the portal that's open to us and receive everything that God has. Rupata salamandara kite. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do I need the presence of God? I want to give you eight quick things. I'm going to give this in about 3 minutes. Are you ready? Eight quick things. Number one, His presence, personal presence, gives us rest and peace. Number two, His presence provides guidance for us in our lives. Number three, His presence brings. Let me just pause on that. I'll just give you an example of the presence of God guiding us. I can remember when I was about 24 years of age, and traveling to work, on my way to work, and had a late start in the morning. I was fell asleep, slept in, needed to get to work by about 7:30 in the morning. As I'm laying there in bed, I heard a voice speak to me. Just called my name, Phil. And then, you know, I just sort of paused and half woke up and laid there and looked at my wife. She's still asleep. And then suddenly I heard the voice again, Phil, like that. And I just sat bolt upright like, who's that? Who spoke to me? And what? And like, is there someone in the house? That was that sort of an experience. And then I remember looking at the clock. Suddenly the thought of who spoke to me was gone because I was 20 minutes late for work. I ran out, got into the kitchen, opened lunchbox, filled it up, ran out the door, chucked in the water bottle, and then I put some clothes on as well. And then got in the car, driving to work, and driving a bit too fast because I'm late. You know, that sort of, I know no one else would ever do that, but driving to work. And as I'm driving, the same voice that I heard speak to me in the morning, I heard again, but this time it was inside. Spoke to me and said this. Now, I'm a farm boy, so what I'm about to say, please forgive me. I have repaired my ways. But I was driving along, I heard this voice say, put your seatbelt on and put it on tight. Do it up tight. And it was sort of like a thought that came left field as I'm driving to work. Coming from a farming background, wearing seatbelts is not something you do automatically. I'm driving. Suddenly I hear the voice again, internal voice, left field. Not a thought that I was thinking about. I was just thinking about getting to work. Put your seatbelt on and do it up tight. And as I'm driving, this thought was so strong, I then clicked my seatbelt in. I zipped it up. You had one. It was not like those auto zip-ups. It was like the old days, right? I zipped it up. Within 300 metres of me zipping that thing up, I blew a tyre and my car spun three times and then came slammed into the ditch on the side of the road. Do you know, all I could think about in that moment was, I stopped thinking about being late for work, and all I could think of was, God spoke to me. I knew it was like the Holy Spirit, God had spoken to me. And I felt like I was spinning out on, oh my gosh, how am I going to get to work? I don't know, but God spoke to me. God is personal in our life. And I can tell you so many experiences and occasions where I have messed up and the voice and the presence of God came. I remember my wife and I now run a ministry for marriage, and we help couples. We do a free Zoom series every Monday night. 7 p.m. online. So any couples who are struggling or people who want to learn about relationship, we run this constant ongoing 8-weekly cycle series every week, except for public holidays because no one else rocks up, and for like Christmas and Easter. But apart from that, we just continually run it. And do you know, it was the presence of God that rescued us from a divorce, from an end of our marriage. What happened was we were about three years into our marriage, and we had got to a point where we realized we just can't communicate. I cannot resolve issues with you. This is me talking to my wife, Sue. And she had the same issue with me, and we were in a very, very low point. Remember, she went away for a fortnight to stay at a mum's place and just recover from all the emotional pain and struggle we were feeling and the heartache. We were, if I could say it like this, we were emotionally exhausted and I couldn't see a way forward. She came home and We were laying on the bed that night and not talking, just laying there. And I said to her, I don't know how to love you. I thought I did, but you are just impossible. Now, this is the reality. You're impossible. What you want, what you expect of me, anything I do is never good enough. I just feel like I'm just completely exhausted from this. I don't know what else to do. I'm done. And she laid next to me. She said, well, you think that I'm complicated, I want to tell you what you do. You constantly demand me to be this person that I can't be. You have all these expectations. You have this plan for my life that I've never agreed to and never even had an opportunity to speak to. You don't even know who I am. And you just presumed who I would be before we got married, and then you've made your mind up, that's what I have to be and have to do. And feel the pain. I remember we just laid there and cried. We just laid on our bed, not touching hands or toes, both opposite sides of the bed. I remember I just started to pray. I said, God, we love you, but we feel lost. We feel completely lost and don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm so exhausted. I'm tired. I'm just over this. I need your help. I need your help. And we just lay there and cried. It's hard to describe in words what happened in that moment. But as we laid there, it was like the healing balm of God's love just started to seep into our hearts. And we just continued to sob. And it felt like this amazing presence had come into the room. Had surrounded us, and the atmosphere was tangible, but we weren't doing anything. We were just laying there crying, not wanting our marriage to fail, not wanting to ruin what we'd hoped for or all the plans that we'd talked about in the past, because we couldn't communicate. We couldn't find a way to resolve a conflict. We were exhausted, but we felt that night the healing grace of God. But probably 30 minutes we just laid there and let God just minister to us. Eventually we just held hands and just laid there and went to bed asleep holding hands. The next morning, I know a miracle had happened in me. I didn't plan to share this today, but I'm going to share it, because probably there's people who need to hear this. I'd always loved my wife as a woman. She's beautiful. I was seriously attracted to her. And I was driven a lot by our chemistry, by the physical attraction of her as a woman. And when I related to her as my wife, I related to her as a woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just that husband and wife thing. But my capacity to love her beyond our physical and chemistry life was very limited. I think I loved her, but I didn't like her person. I loved her, but I didn't like the person. You understand what I'm saying? And I remember after that night of crying out to God and just asking for help, I remember in the morning I woke up and I had this new sense of love for her. It was not the love of a husband's physical attraction to his wife, but it was the kind of love, and without sounding weird, it was the kind of love that a father has for his little girl. I think the first time I saw her was that next morning, and I just looked at her, and I looked at her in a different way to what I'd always seen her before. And that new sense of understanding came with a lot of grace and tolerance for mistakes, for differences, allowing her to be who she was rather than living up to my expectations. God had to change my heart. I want to tell you that the presence of God changes our heart. It changes our posture. The presence, we are, if we're left to ourselves, we're sinful. We're broken. We will take revenge. We will get angry. We'll become bitter. But when the presence of God comes, the presence of God is this supernatural Father's love that comes and gives us an ability to change, to forgive, to heal, to reach out and become and do things you could not normally do. My marriage is a miracle. And we have spoken now to thousands of people. The Zoom course that I'm telling you about, we have had 4,000 people come on that course in 5 years. And we have stuck it in the devil's face by speaking life. And when I say the devil's face, I mean, I think the devil had a plan to ruin our life. You understand? Ruin our marriage. And we just get so much joy out of sticking it to him and helping other people find hope and power and faith again for their marriage. This is what I learned. This is what I learned as I started to change. And God's grace, his spirit, his presence opened my heart to want to learn, to study, to learn about her, to study a woman and what that meant to love her in the way that she needed to be loved. Because I want to tell every bloke in this house, your woman is not like you. She's a million miles apart, baby. When they talk about men, Mars, women, Venus, it's true. It's true. You want a happy life? Study the land of Venus, whatever it is. Study. It's crazy. And I just know the presence of God has just been so wonderful in so many areas. I could go on and on the times where I've felt discouraged and down. So the presence of God, it transforms us, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Number five, the presence of God affirms our identity as his children. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. I'm not an orphan. I'm not like a nobody. I'm not wondering what I am or who I am or where I am. I'm a child of God and I'm filled with his power and confidence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His presence empowers us for mission and ministry. I said I was going to finish this in 3 minutes, didn't I? But it didn't happen. His presence empowers us for mission and ministry. My favorite verse in the Bible is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And if you're a true Pentecostal, you know this verse. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me. How do we do it? Is it through just knowledge? No. Is it through just by being excited or enthusiastic? No. It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. The presence of God. Hallelujah. Number seven, his presence gives us fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence there's fullness of joy, and his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you know, our heart longs for the presence of God. But there's so many things in our life that resist, that we struggle with, that come against us from being able to keep the portal open. See, what Jesus was doing wasn't just coming into this world for him to be the portal, because the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, which we sang about today, he left. He went to heaven again so that he could send his spirit, and that his spirit wouldn't just be in a place or on an individual, but his spirit could be in the heart of every person who believes. And so staying accessible and open to God means that now the presence of God is available for everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're young in your teen years or you're an old fossil like me. It doesn't matter. The power and the presence of God can come into your life at any age and any stage, no matter how far you think you're from God or how good you've been or bad, whatever. God doesn't measure it like that. All he measures it by is he has children who know him and children who don't. And his heart is that every one of his children would know him. In fact, a lot of the stuff that I did before I knew God was because I didn't know his presence. And I was doing those things to satisfy the need. Most addictions today, I think, simply come out of the fact that that person has an emptiness, a hole, a vacuum, something that's missing. And we're looking for something. We're hungry for something. We don't know what it is, but I want to tell you what it is. It's the presence of God in your life. It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God that I experienced at 19 years of age. Three things to keep the portal open. That portal access, that sense of the freedom. Number one, humility. Having humility. Having a sense of, God, I can't do it on my own. Pride will kill your access to the presence. Pride will nail it. Because you're basically saying, God, you know what? I'm going to do it my way. I don't need you, baby. I can do it myself. Pride will kill the presence of God in your life. Number two, the second key is the key of what we call hunger. Hunger. Hunger and thirst. In the book of Matthew, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be filled. Let me just tell you something. God doesn't fill the empty. Just doing a pregnant pause moment right now for that to sink in. God doesn't fill the empty. Now I'm going to have a drink of water just to let that sink in a bit more. So many times I hear people talking about being dry, feeling really dry. But God doesn't fill the dry, he fills the thirsty. What's interesting to me is that God could have fixed our marriage and fixed us before we had that night, 2.5, 3 years into our marriage. Why did God wait? It's because we were empty, but we weren't thirsty. We weren't hungry. We weren't ready to receive. And what's amazing about the Lord is he never forces you in a time you're not ready or willing. He works with you. This is the strange thing, that the God of heaven who created everything chooses to work with human beings at the rate of their willingness. And once we realize, God, I need you, the greatest revelation you can have today, if you're sitting in this room with me, is, mate, I need God more. I need him. God, I need your presence. I need to trust you more. Because from a relational point of view, that opposite of pride from a relational point of view is trust. Humility looks like trust. In a relational sense, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to give myself to lean and trust him with all my heart. That is a person who's ready to access the presence of God. Do you want that today? We need it. We need it. And the third key to keeping the portal open. Number one, everyone say it with me. Number one, humility. Number two, hunger. God fills the hungry. Number three is holiness. This is my last point. Going to get my muso to come up. And in fact, the whole team can just come up if they want to. This was, for me, a pretty intimidating thought, because I grew up in my early years in a traditional church where I thought holiness was about perfection and purity. The holiness was a something that was a standard that God lived at, that you had to come up to in order to be able to connect with him. But see, that's not the biblical narrative. That's not what God's word says. God's word says God came down to us and became a man. Not a superstar, just a man, born of a virgin, born of a woman, into this world. And he met us at our point of need. That's just remarkable. Remarkable grace. Unbelievable grace. But in my head, I thought holiness was the place you had to come to before you could access the presence of God. I want to tell you what holiness is. Holiness, the things that were holy in the Old Testament, they were vessels in the temple that were consecrated, and they were sacred things. The golden candlesticks at the altar that were lit in the temple, the altar of incense where worship was offered, the table of showbread that was kept and reminded the children of Israel how God preserved them for 40 years in the wilderness. I feel the presence of God now. God's provision. The candlesticks, God's light. The incense connection and the prayers of the saints connected to all those things. But the table of showbread, all these things were sacred articles of the temple. But they were sacred because they were consecrated for a purpose. They were consecrated. Their purpose was to be consecrated for the glory of God. They were consecrated by heaven, not themselves. It was heaven that marked them, not them. It was the presence of God that marked them as sacred vessels, not them. And they then represented in the Old Testament this symbolic picture that was there for us to learn from, but to point us forward to Jesus himself. I want to tell you today that your life has been made holy by God. And how do I know if I stay in the holiness of God? Here is the key. The same as it was in the Old Testament, those vessels were consecrated for a purpose. You have been called by God for a specific purpose in your life. He has anointed you for purpose. He has anointed you for his kingdom. He's anointed you for this time to live for him, to follow his ways, but to become a person who is known and seen for the glory of God. It's a consecrated purpose. Holiness is not perfect holiness. That's where God lives. We are kind of like a work in progress holiness. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says God has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. If you are theological in the sense, there's two things said there. Number one, from God's view, it's done. He's seen it. It's perfected. He has perfected forever those who are, everyone say being. Being is a progressive work in progress action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God has not only done the work in you, but he's doing the work in you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That gives me hope. That gives me confidence that I can continue to love him. Even in my broken, not perfect walk with him, I can continue to be someone who glorifies his name and live for his presence. And you can too. You can too. God has called you. He's anointed you. Romans chapter 5 verse 5, that God has poured out his love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And that love today, he wants to pour out again on people. He wants to pour out his presence. When I was a 12-year-old boy run over by a car on Leech Highway and taken to hospital, the presence of God came to me for the first time in that hospital. And as I laid there on that bed, terrified, woke up, had to have a 9-hour operation for the repair of internal bleeding in my stomach, the presence of God came immediately after that operation when I came to consciousness and I met God for the first time. I didn't follow Jesus from that moment, but I met him. And if I can say this, there was nothing in my life that deserved the presence of God. Nothing. I was terrified of one thing, and that was dying and going to hell. Because my mum had told me a lot about hell. I didn't want to go there. I didn't know God, but I definitely didn't not want to know hell personally. You understand? And I said that night, I said, God, if you're real, please help me. In fact, I find myself most of the time asking God for prayer with prayer like that. God, please help me. Please help me. It's me again. Thank you, God, you never grow tired of hearing my voice. Thank you, God, that you are patient. You're kind. Thank you, God. Your loving kindness is beyond my understanding. That night, I met Jesus for the first time. Had an incredible encounter with God. Had a healing. My pelvis had been snapped from behind, broken. Had a supernatural healing. When my pelvis was healed and I was able, actually, even after an operation, I was able to leave hospital the next day, and I started long distance running within 1 week of that accident. Having a broken pelvis, did a 10K hike the next week in my school camp. Got back to school before my teacher, who had seen me be run over in this school because I got hit at a school excursion. My teacher had to go on mental health leave because he was traumatized seeing one of his students be hit by a car and maybe, you know, all the consequences of that. And that's a long time ago. They didn't really do anything in those days. Today, you blink and you're dead, okay? But it was crazy. And I got back to school a day before he came back. And all he could do was ask me, how are you here? what's happened. I tried to explain it, but for 7 years after that experience, I just walked away and did my own thing. Went through some of the darkest years of my life. Year 9 high school. I remember I just didn't want to live anymore because I just felt like I didn't belong. I felt like my life was just a mistake. Year 10, 11, end of year 12, my family went farming down south in Mandurah, down here actually. We're still in Mandurah. And we came down here, I was 19 years of age, and I remember I met this girl who was beautiful. Not my wife, but she was beautiful. And I was at the age of 19 thinking, you know, anything a young, beautiful woman tells me, I'm going to do it. I'm no longer going to church, never been, you know, stopped all that. And then I remember this girl invited me to a church service. And as I'm in the service, I'm coming to the church, sorry. I'd been surfing that morning, so I didn't have these nice, respectable clothes on. I had a pair of Surfy Joe thongs, if you remember those. My wetsuit hanging half my body, and I had a T-shirt on. Still covered in sand, because I didn't know what I was coming to. She didn't really tell me anything. She just gave, look, come along. It's brilliant. I used sort of language I didn't understand. I was just a simple Catholic boy, didn't understand much about anything other than that. Walked into this building. Heard these people, there was a foyer like this one here. I heard the people, because I was late for the service. I heard the people singing songs to God. And the same presence that I knew in the hospital at 12 years of age just flooded my heart, just like a freight, like a truck, just filled my heart. And I just felt like immediately in that moment I'd come home to something. I didn't even know what it was. And I walked in that day, I gave my life to Christ and said, God, I want to serve you. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Jesus has been with me for 40 years. That's what it means to be a Christian. Not how good you are. Not how amazing you talk or, you know, your perfect life. You might have a life that's completely broken and you think, I'm a pathetic example of a Christian. Well, join the club. Because if you compare yourself to, you know, someone else, you might go, well, I'm doing pretty well. But compared to God, we all just, I'm not even going to say the word. Don't let shame and guilt keep you from the person who loves you the most.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.